for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Wednesday morning, October the 26th, 2011. Colonel Williams is the speaker of this service, teaching on zombification of America.
Well, God bless you.
God bless you.
It's a blessing to be here again in Lake Hamilton. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's a blessing to be here again. And we're living in an awesome time.
Amen.
When the winds of change are beginning to blow.
Amen.
And there's a changing of God prophetically, not only in the natural realm, but also in the spirit realm. Amen? We want to believe God today after the teaching out of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. And what we want to believe out of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10 is this. That when the Philistines attacked Israel, God thundered on them, confused them, and defeated them or cast them out. Let me say that again. That's 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. That when the Philistines came to ambush or to attack Israel, God thundered on them, confused them, defeated them, and cast them out. So we're going to believe after the teaching that God is going to invade this tabernacle. And He's going to thunder upon evil spirits that are dwelling within, that are attached to, or that are free-flying around someone's life. If you're excited about that, give Jesus a praise. Amen. Thank God for the staff. Amen. Kevin, Sister Patty. Amen. Fivefold ministers. Usually in church we say officers, members, and friends. That's traditional. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I left a piece of paper in my car. I wanted to show you a picture of the Statue of Liberty with a zombie face. But I left it in my car. Amen. I want to talk to you today about zombification of the Statue of Liberty. Zombification of the Statue of Liberty. And I want you to think in mind of zombies, zombieism, and zombification. I want you to turn with me to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, please. The book of Zechariah, chapter 14, please. Zechariah, the book of Zechariah is a series of night visions. About eight or more night visions that God had given the prophet Zechariah. Let's look at the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. Let's look at verse 12. And this verse is going to take us closely to zombieism. Look at verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall rot away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall corrode away in their sockets, and their tongue shall decay away in their mouth. Many of you, like I myself, grew up looking at dark occult movies. Now, some of you may not be as old as myself, but some of those dark occult movies I'm talking about is Boris Karloff, Frankenstein, amen, Bela Lugosi, Dracula, vampire, Lon Chaney Jr., the Wolfman, werewolf. Another word is lycanthropy. Is that right? Many of us grew up with many of these dark occult movies. And to some of us, these movies, these characters in these movies were occult icons. How many of you know that Satan has infiltrated the movie industry? What we're seeing now in colleges and universities, we are seeing a rise of zombieism. We're seeing young men and women are getting caught up into zombification. and they are giving glory and they are praising these antichrist counterfeit characters. Many parents don't realize what the children know. Many parents do not have lock and key on what the children are doing on the internet. I found out that children know more about vampirism, zombieism, occultism, more than parents do. Met many pastors who are helpless in that area, or they are not knowledgeable in the area, and they refuse to get an understanding of the powers of darkness. Let me give you some definitions. In the Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, and I see many of you taking notes, the word zombie is Haitian Creole. It's called Zombie, Z-O-N-B-I. And in the Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, a zombie is a corpse brought to life by mystical means such as witchcraft. A zombie is a hypnotized person bereft of consciousness and self-awareness. The American Dictionary, Heritage Dictionary Online, gives another definition. A zombie is a snake god of many voodoo cults. Snake god of what? Many voodoo cults. Seen in West Africa, Haiti, and in southeastern United States of America. A zombie is a supernatural power or spell, according to voodoo belief, can enter into a reanimated corpse. In doing some research, I found that in Haiti, a Bokar, that's B-O-K-K-O-R, a Bokar is a voodoo sorcerer. And what the Bokar uses is powder from animals, a type of powder from a toad frog, or a type of powder from the Hylotry frog. Or there's a fish that swims around Haiti, it's called a puffer fish. And this puffer releases a chemical called tetrodotoxin. And what it does, it causes paralysis, and the person will begin to remain in a state of death. They will be unconscious. There will be no breathing patterns, no pulse, no heartbeat, and they would appear as if they're dead. The Bokar uses not only powder to create a zombie, but he also used sorcery or to catch a spell. There was a time when I did not believe that zombies exist. But since the Lord has blessed to be in the ministry of deliverance, I found out there's more beyond the imagination about the powers of darkness. In the American Heritage Dictionary, another definition of a zombie is one who looks like an automaton. Another definition is a tall drink made of various liquors and rums and fruit juices. Anybody had a zombie lately? All right, the Macmillan Dictionary. It gives another definition. A zombie is a dead person in some religious stories who looks and believes and behaves as though they are alive as a result of magic. The Hutchinson Dictionary Online. A zombie is a person of the lowest order of intelligence. That's a zombie. You know, I marvel at some of these definitions, because when I studied about vampirism, I found out that a vampire is a ruinous lover. Or a vampire can be a homemonger. Now here we have a zombie, somebody that's of the lowest order of intelligence. The Urban Dictionary Online. Here's some more definitions that I would like to give you. Zombification is used to describe the effects of dulling down or desensitizing of a modern culture. Well, the modern culture becomes what? Numb. A numbing experience in general. Television is mass zombification to our young people. Indoctrination by television, by radio, by false media can be a form of mass zombification. Amen? Amen. Let me give you about two other definitions. A zombie is a delusional condition of body enslavement. A delusional condition of body enslavement. Zombifying is to turn someone into a zombie. As I said before, a zombie is an antichrist counterfeit character. And many young people see them as occult icons. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 verse 21, that's 1 John chapter 5 verse 21, little children,
keep yourselves from what? From idols. Now, what is the characteristics of a zombie? Well, they have pale skin. Or there is a spirit of death that surrounds the countenance of a zombie. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, it talks about the pale horse. His name was Death, and hell followed with it. Another characteristic is out of Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. When you see a zombie, you see them with what? Flesh rotting away. A decomposed flesh deteriorating. Or flesh just falling away from the body. What do zombies do? They don't communicate. They moan and they groan. Anybody ever seen anybody go? They moan and they what? Groan. They shuffle when they walk. They usually dragging a limb. They look to eat your brains. I had a pastor tell me, brother, that was an outstanding message that you ministered about last Sunday. I want to take you to lunch so I can eat your brains.
Somebody got it. Amen.
Many children understand other characteristic traits of zombies. And I want to bless the parents with this so you'll know what your children are looking at. They are the dark zombies. They are reanimated from magic. They're called the dark zombies. They are the ailment plague zombies. These are zombies who have a supernatural disease or an ailment. There's the chemical zombies. In other words, the neurotransmitters of their brain have been affected. And you call these what? Chemical zombies. Then there's the energy zombies. Some form of energy other than magic. Then there's the immortality zombie. This zombie has a magic spell, a curse upon their lives. Then there's the parasitic zombie. It's all on the internet. The kids see it all the time. The parasitic zombie, when it gets into the body and it affects your body organs. Then there's the radioactive zombie that we see in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12, where it talks about zombification through nuclear war or through a virus or through some type of plague. Is that right? Masses of people, flesh falling out, eyes rotting right there where, in the socket. Staggering, shuffling when they'll walk. Now, turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 3, please. The book of Revelation chapter 3. The book of Revelation chapter 3. Now, so far I've blessed you by giving you dictionary information on zombification. And giving you some character traits on zombification. Now, let's look at the rise of zombification in the church. The rise of zombification in the church. Let's look at the book of Revelation chapter 3. Let's look at verses 1 through 6. Verse 1. And to the angel messenger of the assembly church in Sardis write. These are the words of him who hath the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, and the seven stars. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. I know your record and what you are doing. You are supposed to be alive, but in reality you are dead. Look at verse 2. Rise yourself and keep awake, and strengthen and invigorate what remains and is on the point of dying. For I have not found a thing that you have done, any work of yours, meeting the requirements of my God, are perfect in his sight. Look at verse 3. So call to mind the lessons you received and heard, continue to lay them to heart and obey them, and repent. In case you will not rouse yourself and keep awake and watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know or suspect at what hour I will come. Look at verse 4. Yet you still have a few persons names in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, because they are worthy and deserving. Thus shall he who conquers is victorious, be clad in white garments, and I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. I will acknowledge him as mine. I will confess his name openly before my Father and before his holy angels. Now the last verse, verse 6. He who is able to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now in verse 1, we see the church of Sardis. The church of Sardis was called what? A dead church. The church had a name that it was living, but it was dead. It could have been a mega church. It could have been a big church. It could have been a church with stained glass, Laodicean windows. But Jesus discerned that the church had a name, that it was living, but it was what? Spiritually dead. How many of you listen to me here? There are churches where rigor mortis has set in and the grim reaper is standing at the door. But they're still functioning as a church. They're still functioning as an organization. And they're still trying to function as a ministry. Jesus rebuilt this church of Sardis. You have a name that you're living, but you're dead. And I say this out of agape love. How many 21st century churches that we know that are still in operation, they have a big name that they're living, but listen, on the inside, they're full of dead men bones. They are dead. Now, what would an autopsy reveal? I'd like to give you some information on what would an autopsy reveal. Has the reason of death of many churches that we see in America today, because they've been nulled down, desensitized, and numbed through zombification. All right? And autopsy will reveal this, that the preaching was ineffective. The preaching was ineffective, and it was without what? Power. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. How many of you have been blessed so far? Amen? Amen? Romans chapter 1, let's look at verse 16. And I pray that you will not look at my flesh, but keep your eyes on Jesus, using me as a willing vessel. Amen? All right, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and a firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, my language and my message was not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and what? Power! Approved by the Spirit and power of God operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearts the most holy emotions and thus doing what? Persuading them. It's time for power to return to the church. It's time for power in the preaching of the gospel. Zombification has dulled down, desensitized, and numbed the effectiveness of the gospel in many churches in our land. And God is saying it's time to change and not be ashamed of what somebody would say. It's time for you to minister the word with effectiveness, with authority, and with power. What would an autopsy reveal? An autopsy would reveal that there was no effective preaching. It was about me, myself, and I. It was about glorification of the flesh. And it was not about the effectiveness of the gospel. What would an autopsy reveal? Number two, it would reveal that zombification is not only dull, desensitized, and numb the church, but it revealed that there were church divisions, church splits, church isms, church schisms, and there were certain factions in the church that didn't want anything to do with others. We're living in that time when the church has become what? Zombified. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 10. But I urge and entreat you, brethren, verse 10, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say, and that there be no divisions or factions or divisions among you, but that you be perfectly what? United in your common understanding and in your opinions and in your judgments. Look at verse 11. For it has been made clear to me, my brethren, by those of Cohen's household, that there are contentions and wranglings and factions among you. Look at verse 12. What I mean is this, that each of you said, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, Peter, or I belong to Christ. Now look at the last verse, verse 13. Is Christ the Messiah divided into parts? Was Paul crucified on behalf of you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Zomification causes what? Schisms, isms, factions, divisions in the household of God. I won't come to church unless Pastor so-and-so is there. I won't come to church unless Brother Bob is speaking today. I won't come to church unless Sister Sally is going to be the deliverer. Hello, saints. Zomification has done what? It has entered the church, and that's what an autopsy will reveal. Number three. What else would an autopsy reveal? An autopsy will reveal that they don't do praise and worship. I have a problem when praise and worship is going, and I see people standing up with their arms folded and their legs locked, and they cannot give him thanksgiving and power and wisdom and might with their tongue offering. Zomification has entered the church to the point where we don't want to give him the glory. It's about me, myself, and I. It's too much self-centeredness in the body of Christ. It's about me, myself, and I. I operate in all the gifts. I'm the only one that can heal. I'm the only one that can impart to you. This is what zombification does. And this is what an autopsy will reveal has the cause of death to many ministries in this nation at this hour. Number four. Here's one. Zombification has dulled, numbed, desensitized the leadership of the house. God forgive me. The Bible says we can judge spiritual things. Well, the pastor has become a superman. Pastoral superman. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Let me bless you with something. The book of Ephesians. Turn with me to chapter 4, please. That's the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Saints are to be equipped and trained and perfected in their gifts and callings. The days of the one-man show are over. Amen. Look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4, please. Look at verse 11. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, and what? Shepherds of the flock. Look at verse 12. Why did Jesus give these fivefold ministry gifts? Look at verse 12. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body in the church. So what is the purpose of an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist? What is the purpose of a bishop and an elder? We need these fivefold ministry gifts to do what? Perfect the saints. We need to do what? Has leadership identified gifts and callings in the body of Christ? We need to discern them. We need to do what? Begin to equip our people and train them for the work of the ministry. We're living in a time when zombification has entered the church. People are drying up. There are apostles and prophets in the body. They're teachers and they're evangelists. They don't have any understanding of the gifts and their calling. They don't even know how to operate in them because the leadership of the pastor wants to be Superman. Now this may be hard to some, but I've seen it many times in my walk. I've met people who said, I've been in this ministry 30 years. And all I've been doing is being a robber room doobie, sitting and hearing the same ritual, paying my tithes and offerings, and nobody has perfected or trained or equipped me for the work of the ministry. There's a changing of the guard. There's a changing of the guard. God, listen, the Spirit of God is beginning to minister to the hearts of men and women and telling the leadership that I want my house set in order. Amen. My people are in the Brook Sharif. They are drying up. There's no water because I desire to take them to the next level of spiritual warfare. And how can they go when they don't have an understanding of their gifts? They are sitting in the church, zombies. The first assembly of zombification, Pastor Jack Frost, First Church of the Deep Freeze. and the congregation of the frozen chosen. God is raising up men and women who will thunder their voices with power, and who will minister and not be afraid of principalities and power, and not be afraid of man. They're going to be submissive and humble and walk in humility. They're going to be accountable. But they're going to stand on God's word. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Listen, how many times I go to churches, the pastor is the only one that casts out devils. He's the only one that can heal. He's the only one that can prophesy, he or she. He's the only one that can be an orator, a lecturer. Hello, saints. And you're sitting there drying up and dying. You got a hunger and a thirst to move in deliverance, to cast out devils. Because Mark 16, verse 17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. The Greek word for them is hoheto, which means masculine and feminine. Them, every believer, every fivefold minister is supposed to do what? Cast out devils. Well, come on, saints. This is what zombification is doing. Look at Matthew chapter 28, please. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Let me bless you here. I'm excited about this word. I'm on fire for it. Look at Matthew chapter 28, please. In Matthew chapter 28, let's start at verse 19. We see the apostolic commission. That's Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Look what it says. Go then and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now watch verse 20 real closely. Teaching them, hoheto, masculine and feminine, teaching them to what? Observe everything that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you all the days, perpetually, and on every occasion, to the close and consummation of the ages. Now, one translation says, teach them to do what? Observe and do. When the disciples were with Jesus, they watched him cast out devils. They watched him heal the sick. They watched him move in words of knowledge, words of discerning of spirits, and words of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 12. Listen, they were instructed by Jesus. They were perfected, Ephesians 4:11. And they were equipped. They were trained for the work of the ministry. Where are the days when the leadership of the house can teach the people to observe and to do? No, the pastoral Superman wants to be the one-man show. Hello, saints. I'm touching something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28 says, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Why would God use numerics? He's given you the governmental anointings. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly what? Teachers. Why is it that the pastor doesn't want to change to the apostolic, or the pastoral apostle, or the pastoral apostle leadership? Why is it that we want to still be caught up in what Dr. Martin Luther King called the paralysis of analysis? Paralyzed with tradition, and with legalism, and with witchcraft, and we refuse change, zombification, dulling down the leadership, desensitizing them, numbing them, from equipping the saints, training them, perfecting them. Listen, I was one just like you, sitting in a church dying. I knew that there was more in my spirit. I was burning on the inside, hungry. I knew that God had more for me. But all I was sitting there all those years hearing from the pulpit was emotional hype. Oratory spirit. Come on, saints. You don't know what I'm talking about. I sure don't. Zombification. All right. That's what an autopsy would reveal. An autopsy would also reveal that the church is not on one accord. Unity. The church was not what? What is the reason of death? They were not on one accord. The book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1, says that what? They were on what? One accord. How many of you know that there must be unity in the body? Amen. Is that right? In order for the miraculous to manifest, for the supernatural to manifest, for signs and wonders to manifest, we must be on what? One accord. Another reason for, another. What else would the autopsy reveal? The cause of death for that church. There was no fasting and prayer. Nobody was fasting. Every time somebody tried to pray, the spirit of Leviathan and the spirit of Behemoth would put them to sleep. They would get heavy. Nobody wanted to fast. Nobody wanted to pray. This kind cometh out only by what? Fasting and prayer. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, when Zion travailed, she birthed forth her children. How can children be birthed if there's no intercessors birthing children into the house of the Lord? How can children be birthed if the church refuses to hit the streets and go into urban evangelism or street evangelism? How could there be a birthing of souls in the house of the Lord when the same, listen, we're ministering to the same people every day. Every Sunday, we're preaching to the same people. How could they be birthed? Jesus said, they that behold don't need no physician. We minister in the whole folks every Sunday. We need somebody that's what? Got ailments, that's sick. What else would an autopsy reveal? Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. He could do no miracles because of their unbelief. I'm appalled at some people that I've seen, even in Atlanta, Georgia. Brother, you've been in church, sister, you've been in church 20 years, and you still sitting there talking about, I don't believe that. About no demons. Yeah. And now you're binding up the whole church. Yeah. I don't believe that. Them demons, what that demon do? Unbelief will disrupt the service. There won't be any healing or deliverance taking place because of unbelief. We need to cry, Lord, help thou my unbelief. What else would the autopsy reveal? 2 Thessalonians, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. Let me bless you again. Can I bless you? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I believe that God is going to hold some people accountable on that great day for sitting in a traditional legalistic witchcraft place. You've heard the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Hello, saints. That ministry is not moving in deliverance. It's not casting out devils. It's not impacting cities. It's not impacting nations. The brook Cherith and Drada. And you've been spoken to many occasions by the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe that there are people that God is going to hold you accountable for sitting there in that bondage. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 11. Therefore God sends upon them a misleading influence, a working up error, and a strong delusion to make them believe that which is a lie. Look at verse 12. In order that all may be judged and condemned who do not believe in, who refuse to adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth, but instead took pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. And one translation says, and he will damn them for it. Come on, saints, again. Well, I've been in this church 80 years because grandma and grandpa been there, and I ain't going nowhere because my feet planted right here in this here church right here. God will send you a strong delusion. Hello, saints of God. The winds of change are blowing. Is that right? It's time to walk in authority, dunamis, exousia, authority and power. It's time to get in your rightful places. It's time to come out of the cave of Adullam where you've been distressed, perplexed, and in financial bond. It's time to come out and be one of David's supernatural men. Zombification has known, has dumb, is sensitized, and numbed the church. Well, the church, they look like zombies when they come into the body. Now you may say, brother, you was a little bit too hard on us this morning. Well, I'm going to make you smile a little bit, then I'm going to get back to being a little bit more hard again. 7 signs that your pastor is a zombie. So you're going to make you smile a little bit because I'm a little bit too hard on you. 7 signs that your pastor is a zombie. Something about him or her is odoriferous, or something about him or her stinks. Zombies have decayed bodies. Flesh is falling from their bodies. Zombie stinks. 2, he or she won't stop until they convert you into being one of them. When a zombie bites you or scratches you, you become what? One of them. 3, He or she has contorted facial appearance. In other words, burning and seething anger. You ever see some people trying to look in their face, Brother Jim? They got seething anger. How you doing? God bless you. Listen to this. Here's another reason that your pastor might be a zombie. Listen to this. Number four. He or she may be on mind-altering medications, and when they come in the pulpit, they're in a catatonic state. How you going to minister to somebody and you caught up in Thorazine lithium? Schizophrenic medications. Hello? Mind-altering medication. You got the Holy Spirit locked out. Number five. He or she says the same thing over and over again in the pulpit. Zombies groan and they mumble. Every Sunday, he is the same old message. Number six. 6 hours your pastor's a zombie. He or she want to eat your brains. Pastor told me, brother, I want to take you out to lunch. You preached a powerful message last Sunday, and I want to eat your brains. I know he was saying he wanted to see what else that God had given me, but the way he said it, eat my brains, made my antennas go up. I got a zombie here. I better run. Number seven. He or she likes to go to the malls. How many of you know zombies hanging at the malls? Night of the Living Dead. They hung out at the mall. He or she likes to what? Go to the mall. All right. Congregational zombification. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Let's look at verse 16. Proverbs chapter 21. Is there such thing as congregational zombification? The answer is yes. Proverbs chapter 21, let's look at verse 16. Verse 16 of Proverbs 21. All right, give everybody time to get there. This is awesome. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16. A man who wanders out of the way of understanding shall abide in the congregation of the dead. Oh, let me read that again. A man who wanders out of the way of understanding shall abide in the congregation of the spirits of what? The dead. Zombification is among the congregation. Galatians chapter 3 verse 1. Who have bewitched you? Who cast an evil eye? Who cast a spell upon you in the congregation of the dead? So the whole country, congregation can be zombified. I know of a situation in Atlanta where a psychic walked in there and started giving psychic revelation through divination and walked away with half of the pastor's members. Congregational zombification was with Jim Jones at the People's Temple in Guyana. Congregational zombification was when this man with this cult made the people to start God committing what? Suicide. So listen, the whole congregation can be demonized. They can be zombified. Is that right? Is that right? They can be knocked down and dull till they just used to come to church. I know all the pastor's going to do. He's just going to preach the same old dead sermon. And every day he's talking about, let's go eat some collard greens, some chicken, some mashed potatoes, and the potato salad. Every Sunday, that's all it's going to be. But you're sitting there, and the Spirit of God has spoken to you, and you say, we're going to heaven. My church is going to be so blessed. We just bought our pastor a Bentley and a Mercedes-Benz. No doubt. Desensitized. No. Hello. Hello, Santa. I believe this is touching some pastors here. I think a big smile back here. Big smile back here. Is that right? All right. Now, what about marital zombification? Grandma, I believe I married a zombie. Mama, she acts like a zombietress. I just stay with her because I really don't love him or her. I'm just there because, it's about survival, And I have to have somebody to iron my clothes and I have somebody to cook my food. But I'm really not happy. Because you've been knocked down. You've been desensitized. Is that right? Zombification. Listen, marriage-breaking spirits are attacking marriages now. Is that right? I mean, there's a high level of intensity in spiritual warfare that's coming against the body of Christ. That's what we see in what? Marital zombification. I missed something here. What about congregational zombification when you got members addicted to stimulants? And stimulants affect the nervous system. Speed, uppers, bennies, short-term effects, blurred vision, sleeplessness, anxiety, moodiness, a false sense of power and well-being. I missed that. I need to go back to it. Congregational zombification. Sedatives, hypnotics. You got people coming to church with Bibles that are under sedatives and hypnotics. They are depressed and their nervous system and their brain is shut down. What are the short-term effects? Staggering. Yes. Poor judgment. Yes. Poor judgment and reflexes. Slurred speech. You're coming to church on all types of mind-altering medications. The Holy Spirit is not getting into you. The messages don't even break through your heart. What about psychedelics? LSD. Elton John said, "Lucy in the sky with diamonds." What about LSD? What about mescaline? What about PCP that affect the brain? And you're sitting in church saying, "I don't know why I can't be saved. I don't know why God don't speak to me." Well, maybe it's the mescaline. What about the short-term effects? The panic, the confusion, the flashbacks. What about the bizarre and violent and dangerous episodes that you're having? But you come to church, you're zombified because these medications got you numbed down. What about narcotics like opium, morphine, codeine, heroin? Listen, how many times I've seen people, we criticize people on drugs, but some of us are addicted to goody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stand back, BC, and painkillers. How many times have we seen that? When we were pastoring, my wife and I, we would see people come in the prayer line on mind-altering medication. They come up for prayer, they come up for prayer, they come up for prayer, and nothing would change about them. Nothing would happen to them. Because they were what? Zombified. Zombification had done what? Set in. Marijuana, reefer, grass, pot, Mary Jane. When I was in Vietnam, they would get a double barrel shotgun. We were young then. We didn't know any better. And they get on the other end of the double barrel and they blow the smoke and get there and cup it like that. Is that right? We were under mind control because there was much drugs in that region. Listen, people can say what they want by marijuana. Growing up in the urban areas and being in Vietnam, I have watched marijuana lead to a stronger addiction.
Amen. There you go.
I have watched it. I have watched it lead to what? A stronger addiction. False sense of well-being, impaired memory, coordination, and judgment. Now, I'm not a licensed doctor. I don't hold a PhD. Neither am I a certified herbalist. But I will say this. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. Please turn there, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Let's look at verse 12, please. In verse 12 it says, "In the 90th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, until his disease became very severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but relied on the physician." King Asa relied more on the doctors than he did on the Lord. King Asa relied more on the doctors than he did what? On the Lord. I'm not a licensed medical practitioner, but what I would say to you from my experiences, we need to seek God first, then the doctors. Is that right? Let me tell you something. Satan is introducing satanic chemicals. There's no curing. There's no remedy anymore. It's only to put a mask over the problem. Many pastors are addicted to meds. That's right, anybody? That's right, Brother Jim. Many pastors are addicted, and they're standing in the pulpits of America. We were ministering in Freeport, Bahamas, The Spirit of God was moving in the ministry of deliverance and casting out devils. A young woman come out of the village and she said, "Man of God, I heard you've been having a meeting. Would you pray for me?" You know, and then she had this bag in her hand, and I could not believe this woman had over close to 12 different medications. And one of them that caught my eye was Valium. And I know from my sister that Valium is a mind-altering drug. Is that right? Is that right? Turn to Leviticus chapter 26. Look at Leviticus 26. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 26. Alright? Look at Leviticus chapter 26. Look at verse 39, please. Of Leviticus chapter 26. Is that right? Look what it says in verse 39. "And those of you who are left shall pine away, pine away, pine away in their iniquities in your enemies' lands. Also the iniquities of your fathers shall they pine away like them. But if they confess their own and their father's iniquity and their treachery which they committed against me, and also that because they walk contrary to me." Look at that word pine away in verse 39. Pine away because of the sins of the fathers. That word pine away means to melt in, to mean to melt in Hebrew, to dwindle, to vanish away, to dissolve or to consume away. Now we know that our foreparents have done things that affected us. We know that Lamentations 5 says our fathers have sinned and are dead and we have borne their iniquity. But we also know that our foreparents have done some things that are affecting us and causing us to pine away. I will let you in on a personal confession. My son in Florida, he has a baby. And the girl he had the baby from, she was on all kinds of mind-altering medications. Come to find out, her mother was on all types of mind-altering medications. So what happened, there was not only evil or soul tied through association, but there was a transference of addiction. Is that right? Now the girl is pining away. They went to court, and a lawyer refused to even handle the case because he says he doesn't want anything to do with her because she has some problems and she needs to be put in an institution. How many of you are listening to me? I believe I'm touching somebody. My best friend, Sergeant Robert L. Thomas, United States Marine Corps. This man had an associate degree in computers. I watched him pine away. They gave him Thorazine and they gave him lithium. And I begged Thomas, Thomas, don't take those medications. Seek God, man. Pray fast, man. Man, read the Word of God, man. My friend started taking those medications. He pined away. It hurt me so bad to be in a restaurant and he put the spaghetti in his coat pocket. And I began to watch his mind, just an intelligent man, a man that was highly decorated in Vietnam, just to see that medication just eat away his brain cells. To put him in a zombified, a state of zombification. Listen, saints. I appeal with you today through this message. I am not a doctor. I am not a herbalist. But listen, we need to seek God for another way for healing. And we need to seek God for another way of deliverance. All right, let me give you another area of zombification. 3.8 million military personnel are on prescription medication. The Air Force, the Army, the Marine Corps, the Navy, as well as the Coast Guard. I found a survey here, and it was called the Novus Medical Detox Center. They gave a 2009 report that 3.8 million painkiller prescriptions for our combat troops, for our military. What is going to happen with these super soldiers? What is going to happen with these soldiers of darkness when they go into battle? Combat infantry, they go into battle on mind-altering medication, on mind-altering drugs that's putting them in what? A catatonic state. Time to pray for our military. Hello, saints. What about the children? Many of you who are teachers, you know in the school system, zombification has come into the educational system. Many children are being put on Ritalin. I begged a woman one time, don't put that baby on Ritalin, a friend of mine. She put that baby on Ritalin, then that baby got in his teenage years. He got life in prison for murder. Ritalin, I found out what also, that child will not be accepted in the armed forces. Zombification is not only in the school system and the educational system, but zombification is in house and family households. That's the correct words. I'm appalled not only in the urban areas. When I see young women say, my child is ADHD, or my child needs medication just to get a check. I'm appalled just to get a check from the government, and you distorted this baby's life because of zombification. I don't have too much to go, more to go here. I'll give you another. Leviticus chapter 19 and 19. I pray that what I'm giving you will make you think in the ministry of deliverance. It will make you see that zombification, listen, is plaguing the Statue of Liberty. When I saw that picture of a zombie face on the Statue of Liberty, the revelation that was received was there's zombification in America. And there are churches that are dead and that they are zombified. All right, look at Leviticus 19 and 19. Look what it says. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your domestic animals breed with a different kind of animal. You shall not let your domestic animals breed with what? A different kind of animal. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, neither wear a garment of linen mixed with wool. Let's look at the genetic engineering. Let's look at the hybrids. You know, the Bible says, as in the days of Lot, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about Nephilim. Nephilim were the offspring of the sexual interaction between angels and between what? Women. So during the days of Noah, we saw what? A generation of giants or a generation of hybrids. Now watch where I'm going here. What are we seeing now to let us know that we are in the days of Lot and we are in the days of Noah? Now listen to this. I went to a site called www.hemy.net, and I found that they've released the top 10 animal hybrids that they have released through genetic crossbreeding, genetic engineering. And look what I found. Number one. They had a picture. You can go to that site and you can see these hybrids. They have a picture of a liger, L-I-G-E-R. A liger is a cross between a male lion and a female tiger. Two, they had a picture of a zebroid through genetic engineering, a hybrid. A zebroid is a cross between a horse and a zebra. Number three, they had a Grola pisley. Now, what's the Grola pisley? It's a hybrid between a grizzly bear and a polar bear. They have a picture of a leopard. What's a leopard? A leopard is a genetic engineered crossbreeding between a male leopard and a female lion. Can you imagine going in your backyard and looking one day and there's something come running through the woods called a liger, a hybrid? We are living in the days of Noah. Look at this. Number five. They got a leopard. Correction. Number five. They got a comma. C-A-M-A. A comma is a hybrid between a camel and a llama. Number six. They got a wolf dog. Which is what? Crossbreeding domestic animals with what? Wolves. Number seven. They have a wolfin. Now this is what got me. A hybrid form of a bottlenose dolphin and a killer whale. Number eight, they have a zony. A zony is a genetic engineered crossing between a pony and a zebra, a zony. Number nine, they got a hybrid pheasant, a golden pheasant and a Lady Amherst pheasant. And number 10, they have a tigon, which is a male tiger and a hybrid liger. Britain has just confessed that they've been creating hybrids in laboratories. Jesus said that there will be what? Strange sightings. Zombification is where our animal kingdom is being zombified with hybrids. As in the days of Lot, as in the days of Noah, hybrids, Nephilim, so shall the coming of the what? Son of Man be. All right. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 9, and I don't have much to go. Get ready to close on that. Deuteronomy chapter 22, look at verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9. You shall not plant your vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the whole crop be forfeited on this band. The seed which you have sown and the yield of the vineyard forfeited to the what? Sanctuary. All right. There's a zombification of plants. Zombification. Monsanto Corporation. There you go. That's right, Brother Jim. You took the words out of my mouth. I was getting ready to say the Monsanto Corporation. GMO. Genetically modified organisms or food. How many of you know that half of what you're eating is genetically modified? That's why there's an increase in sickness, disease, and infirmity, because there is a zombification of what? Fruits, vegetables, plants, and what? Animals. God said that you shall not crossbreed seed. You shall not crossbreed fruit, plants, or vegetables. In Georgia, when you're coming up Highway 1941, there's a sign that says hybrid bass. A cross between a bass and a brim. How many of you know that we've been eating a tangelo all the while? A cross between a tangerine and an orange. We were in Florida not too long ago, and we saw the biggest asparagus that was genetically modified that I ever seen in my life. Hello, saints of God. Have you paid any attention to bananas where they can stay ripe, but when you go on the inside, they look like they're mortified? Have you paid attention to your tomatoes? Eating, half of what you're eating now is what? Genetically what? Modified. Listen to this. We're going to find ourselves ministering deliverance on contaminated foods that are poisoning the system, the immune system, and causing autoimmune diseases in many believers' lives. We're going to find out having to come against blood diseases. Amen? Amen. All right, listen to this. May the 18th, 2011, the Center for Disease Control, the CDC in Atlanta, said these words. It was an article by Joshua Rent Miller. Guess what the CDC said? They said, it's time to warn the public to prepare for a zombie apocalypse. It's time to warn the public to prepare for what? A zombie apocalypse or a zombie invasion because of impending viruses and plague and diseases. Now, when the CDC says, get prepared for a zombie apocalypse, then you're telling me if there's a nuclear strike on America or if the globalists release a virus or a plague, then you're telling me that, amen, the people in my neighborhood, I may look up and I'll see half of them walking around, amen, rotting and decomposed and contaminated. You're telling me that there's something also coming to our nation. Because there are some evil masters and some evil planners that are planning the destruction of this nation, which only prayer can turn around and true repentance can turn around. So you're telling me that there's something coming. Oh my God, this is good. All right, let me close with this thought. We talked about zombification to the Statue of Liberty. We talked about in Haiti how they use the pufferfish, the frogs, to create a neurotoxin, to create a zombie through sorcery, and to cause people to look as if they're dead, no pulse, no heartbeat. We gave definition for a zombie. We even told you that a zombie was a tall glass of rum. We looked at urban definitions of zombieism. We looked at zombies have some of the traits or some of the characteristics of zombies. We also talked about how zombification is on the rise in many of our churches. And we talked about what an autopsy would reveal about the 21st century church. We also talked about seven signs that your pastor is a zombie. We talked about congregational zombification. We talked about how marital zombification and how many in the congregation are on what? Mind-altering drugs and mind-altering medication. We talked about the U.S. military. 3.8 million of our troops are on all types of painkillers and mind control medication. We also talked about hybrids, animal hybrids. And we also talked about the CDC giving their information about they are preparing America for a zombie, these are the exact words, a zombie apocalypse. Now, I'm getting ready to close. It was a little hard on you then, but I'm going to be a little humor on you again. Then we're going to move in deliverance. 8 signs that you have been zombified. Number 1, you are bitten by a pastoral, governmental, civilian, or military zombie. Number 2, you crave for human flesh. Number 3, you were once pronounced dead, but you got up and people started screaming and running. Number 4, your body decomposition looks like it has increased. Number 5, your friends keep trying to shoot you in the head at the mall. Number 6, hunger is your motivation because you like to eat brains. Number 7, you have an uncontrollable aid to stagger in the malls when you walk. And number 8, people tell you all the time that you smell like roadkill. How many of you are blessed? How many of you are blessed with Jesus dead? Amen. Amen. How many of you are ready for the deliverance aspect? Amen. From looking at zombification, we want to come against some deaf spirits. Spirit of death. How many of you know that zombie is a deaf spirit? Is that right?
Yes.
That is so good. My God, that's awesome. Anybody want to share with that? The Christians, we are addicted to the TV. Praise God. I think I need some deliverance from that statement to myself. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Let's begin to move in deliverance. How many of you are blessed? The Bible tells us that God will confirm His Word through what? Signs and wonders. And we want to believe that deliverance is going to take place. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. We're going to, since the zombie is a spirit of death. It's an antichrist spirit. It's counterfeit. We want to come against some deaf spirits. Ecclesiastes 7 and 17 says, why should you die before the time? There's too many premature deaths in the body of Christ. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right, all heads bowed, please. Anybody living or dead? All heads bowed. Anybody living or dead who have hurt or wounded you? Any unforgiveness, any bitterness, or any resentment? Anybody living or dead who have hurt or wounded, raped, molested, violated you in any way, you're going to have to forgive them whether they are living or whether they are dead. You might have been hurt in marriage, the divorce, separation. You might have been hurt by children, next of kin, anybody living or dead, creditors, banks. You may have been hurt by pastors, hurt by prophets, fivefold ministers. You might have been wounded. You might have been hurt. You're going to have to repent right now, whether they're living or dead. You're going to have to ask God for forgiveness. You're going to have to forgive them right now while your head's bowed. Anybody living or dead, ask the Holy Spirit to cause you to search deep down in your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to search deep down in your heart. And you tell, Father, I repent. Lord, I repent and I forgive them. Whether they are living or whether they are what? Dead. All heads bowed, please, if you're sincere. And many of you have been in deliverance and some of you may not. When we command those spirits to come out, many of you may yawn. Many of you may cough. Many of you may vomit. There may be some gastric releases. Some of you may cry. Some of sinus. There are many ways that spirits exit the body. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your hearts right now. Amen. Ask the Holy Spirit, search your heart. Now while all heads are bowed and you're searching your heart and you're asking forgiveness, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you send holy warrior angels to do battle with us. We thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. We thank you for your resurrection and authority to use your name. We pray that your Holy Spirit will give us discernment and give us gifts to set these captives free. Father, in the name of Jesus, we block any and all transference of evil spirits assigned to hinder or interfere with this assembly or with this deliverance ministry in the name of Jesus. Father, we cut off any evil power by New Agers, by witches, by warlocks, or by cultists, or any spoken word curses, oh God, that have been sent against Lake Hamilton. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Father, we bind every strong man present in each and every one of these individuals. We bind demonic doorkeepers, gatekeepers, demonic reinforcements. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you block communication between every free-flying spirit right now. We block every reinforcement through satanic forces, that you they be disrupted. And we ask you to loose confusion upon them. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus as we bind and take authority over these gatekeepers, doorkeepers, and strong men, that we stand on the word of the Lord in 1 Samuel 7 and 10, that you will thunder in this place. You will thunder, throw the evil spirits into confusion, Father, and that you will cast them out in Jesus' name. All right, just by that right there. Just by that right there. In the name of Jesus. All right. All right. Anybody living or dead? Anybody living or dead? Father, we pray that what happens here, that you will get the glory and not our flesh, Father, in the name of Jesus. All right, get ready. Many of you know that spirits are breath, and many of you know that they come out through breath. Some of the things that we're going to come against, if it doesn't apply to you, it may be a family member, and you may need to stand with them. Amen, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to come against some deaf spirits, and I'm going to come against drugs and other medications. All right, I bind and command to come out right now, rank and file. I command you to line up, and I command you to obey the authority in this house in the name of Jesus. I come against appetites and addictions. Come out now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on out now. Come on, saint. Breathe in. Breathe in three times. Blow those things out of drugs and medications. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come on. Drugs, medications. Come out now in Jesus' name. Addiction to drugs. Apollyon, Apollo. Come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against bondage and slavery to medications, to drugs. Mind-altering drug, mind-binding, mind-blocking. Come out now. Come on, breathe those things out. Come on, breathe them out in the name of Jesus. Craving for cigarettes, come out now in the name of Jesus. Craving for cigarettes, come out. Craving for alcohol, come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against amphetamine, barbiturates, come out now. Painkillers, that's right, come on out now. Come on, move in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that the angels of the Lord would chain and gag and drag them out, Father, and drag them out and carry them where Jesus Christ would have them to go. All right, come on out now, craving for addiction to drugs. Uppers, downers, bennies, come out now in Jesus' name. I come against fear. I come against flashbacks, nervousness, tranquilizers. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Father, thunder upon them. Thunder upon the evil spirits that are operating the lives of these precious people. These precious people, come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against pipe smoking, hash, phenobarbital, methadone. Come out now. Come out now. Breathe them out, people, in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against depressants, witchcraft. Come on out through doctors, witchcraft through nurses. Come out now. That's right. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Poison in your bloodstream. Poison in the bloodstream. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Autoimmune disease. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Come on out of there now. I bind any violent manifestations. I command these spirits to come out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out now. Move. Idolatry. Come out now. Medicine man. Uppers, downers, Valium. Spells through medication. Librium, Thorazine. Halidol, that's right, come on out, move, thunder upon them, Father, thunder upon them and throw them in confusion right now. Lord, the evil spirits that are attacking these precious people, Father, come on out now in the name of Jesus. Mind-boggling, paralyzing of the mind, come out through medications, come on out of there. Mind-binding, mind-blocking, paralysis of the mind, zombification of the mind, come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against confusion, mind control, aspirin, come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against convulsions. Come on, move in Jesus' name. Convulsion, delirium, tremors. Come on out now in Jesus' name. I come against crack cocaine, baseball, beat, biscuits, bones. Come out now. Brick, bunk, cake. Come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against the crack cocaine, crumbs, cubes, devil drug, eight ball. Hardball, come out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. All right. I come against right now painkillers. Come on out, painkillers. Painkillers, addiction to painkillers. Come on out now. Move. Come on out now. Out of the mind. Come on, move. Move. Painkillers. Move. Move. Out of there now. Come on out there now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out of there, painkillers. Right now. I come against right now. Zombification in the marriage. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Come out. Zombification in the marriage. Come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against fear in the marriage. Fear of commitment in the marriage. Dread that you got married. Come out. Zombification in the marriage. Hatred of spouse. Come on out now in Jesus' name. Come on out. I don't want nobody to know. Come on out. Move. Move. Hatred of spouse. Hurt by spouse. Hurt by husband. Hatred of husband. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Breathe, breathe them out, saints. Come on out. Curse of separation. I break family line curses of divorce in the name of Jesus. I come against adultery, fornication. I come against spiritual destruction of marriage. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out now. No peace in the marriage. No peace in the marriage. Confusion. Come on. Come on out, confusion. Come on out, confusion. Come on, all the confusion spirits. Line up, rank and file. Come on out of there. Come on out of there now. Move. Move in the name of Jesus. False romance. Curse on the marriage. Come on, move. False romance. Curse on the marriage. Come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against seduction spirit. I come against blackmail in the bedroom. Block sex in the bedroom. I don't want to sleep with her. I don't want to sleep with him. Come on out of there. Come on out of there now. Come on out of there now in the name of Jesus. Lying spirits in the marriage. Control spirits in the marriage. Come on. Rape spirits. You can't give yourself to your husband because you've been raped. Come on out of there. Come on out. You can't truly give your body to your godly husband because of that rape. Come out of there now. Move. Move. Move in the name of Jesus. I come against incubus and succubus in the marriage right now. Incubus in women. Succubus in men. I come against with the spirit lover. You sleep by your mate, but you have a spirit lover in your dream. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Sexual attacks. Spirit lover. Spirit husband. Spirit wife. Come on out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. I come against bound affection, blocked affection. I have no affection for my mate. I have no affection for my mate. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Come on, move, 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 move. False affection, burning lust. Come on out. Hex on the marriage, vex on the marriage. Come on out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, saints, be those things out. Come on out. Jealousy in the marriage. Insane jealousy. He's jealous of me. Come on out. Come on out, jealousy. Come on out, jealousy, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thunder upon them. Thunder upon them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against hopelessness in the marriage. No hope. No peace. No hope. Come on. Come on. I feel no hope in this relationship. I feel no peace in this relationship. Come on out. Come on out now, in the name of Jesus. I come against the curse of the tongue. Hurtful words by your mate. Hurtful words by your mate. Come on out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against block healing in the marriage. Sorcery in the marriage. Come out now in the name of Jesus. That's right. Breathe them on out. Breathe them out and let them go in Jesus' name. Confusion. Confusion in the marriage. Come on, go. 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 Go in the name of Jesus. All right. All the death spirits. Zombification. Death. I come against premature death. Come on, move. I break all ancestral curses of premature death. Leviticus 26, the sins of the father. Come on, you will not die before the time. You are a believer and you're precious in His sight. Come on out, premature death. Fear of death, fear of dying. Come on, come on, move, move. Fear of death, fear of dying. Come on out now in Jesus' name. I come against stroke. I come against strokes because of rebellion. Deuteronomy 28 talks about strokes can be the result of rebellion. Come on. Come on. Family line curses of stroke. Family line curses of paralysis. The spirit of paralysis. Come on out now through rebellion. Come on. Come on. Breathe them out and let them go in Jesus' name. King of terrors. King of death. Angel of death. Come on out now. Move. Move. Accidents. Accident. 8 accidents in 1 year. Come on out now. There you go. Move. Move. That's right. Get them on the run. Come on out, move in Jesus' name. Come on out and move in Jesus' name. Aneurysm in the head. I come against the spirit of aneurysm that's trying to set up in your head. Come on out. Come on out of there. Come on out, aneurysm. Come on out, aneurysm. Come out now. Move. 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 Family line curses of aneurysm. Come on out. There you go. Come on, bring them out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against right now. Fear of death. Fear of a violent death. Come on out now in Jesus' name. Death rattle, death watch, death warrant, death stroke, shade of death, valley of the shadow of death,
dying, fear of dying. Come on out, fear of dead bodies. Come on, move, move, move. Move in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. I come against spirits that on your family line, ancestors, family line of the occult, where you dabble in Freemasonry, you dabble in Eastern Star, in Ouija board, tarot card reading, tarot card reading, crystal ball reading, water witching, dowsing, divination. I come against the occult right now, where you have no desire for prayer and Bible study. Come out now in Jesus' name. No desire for prayer and Bible study. I break the curses of the occult in the name of Jesus Christ. Visions of ghostly forms, paranormal forms appear to you at night. Come out now that are not of God. These are demonic. Come on out now because of the occult in Jesus' name. I come against blindness because of the occult, that you've dabbled with the occult in the name of Jesus. I come against insanity. I come against insanity for going in urban areas to the root worker, to the hoodoo man, to the psychic person. Come on out now. Move. To the witch, to the warlock, to the fortune teller, to the soothsayer. Come on out now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against right now moods of depression. Moods of depression. Come on, move depression. All the depression spirits, come out now in the name of Jesus. I feel depressed. Come on out now. Move. 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 Suicidal. Hopelessness through depression. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. I come against blasphemous voices. Blasphemous voices in the head. I hear these blasphemous voices. Come on out now. Move. Move. I break any evil associations. I break any evil soul ties to these blasphemous voices. Come on out now in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. I come against biblical curses right now. Curses mistreating God's people. Mistreating God's people. Come out now in the name of Jesus. I come against being a deceiver. I come against keep cursed objects, frauds. Come on. Come on out now. I come against the demons that are hiding in ceramics and statues and cursed objects in your home. Come out now. Move. Move, move, breathe them out and let them go, saints, in the name of Jesus. Not giving to the poor, not giving to the poor, not hearkening to your husband, not hearkening to the wife, in the name of Jesus. Come on, move. Oppressing strangers, oppressing widows, oppressing orphans. Come on out now, in the name of Jesus. I come against incest on the family line. Incest, I break curses of incest. Come on out now, in the name of Jesus. Come on out, incest. Come on out. I break these curses of incest on your bloodline. Come on out now in Jesus' name. That's right. Move, 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 move in the name of Jesus. Come on out now. Move, move, move in the name of Jesus. I come against cursing parents. The Bible says he that curseth his mother or father, the raven shall pluck out his eyes. I come against masculine generation in your eyes. I come against glaucoma, stroke, blood vessels bursting in the eyes in the name of Jesus. Come on out there now. Come on. Come on. Move. 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 Move in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Cataracts. Thank you so much, honey. Cataracts, come on out now in the name of Jesus. Come on, cataracts, move. Blindness, come on out. All the blind spirits, line up. Come on, move. Cataracts, blindness. Darkness in the eyes, come on out now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let them go, saints. No moisture in the eyes, dry eyes, amen. Run down with tears, come on out. Come on, that apply to you. Come on, come on, come on, get some deliverance now. If that applies to you, come on out now. Come on, haughty eyes, come on. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. All right. Rotting eyes. Come on out. Eyes that rot. Deterioration of the eyes. Consumption of the eyes. Eyes that rot. That's right. Come on out. Come on out. Move in Jesus' name. Lust of the eye. Okay, beautiful. Come on out. Anybody with lust of the eyes? Come and deal with that spirit. Get some freedom with that thing. Lust of the eyes. Setting eyes before evil. Forgive us, Lord. That's right. We are to abstain from the very appearance of evil. All right, that applies to you. Come on out, move in Jesus' name. Okay. All right, all right. Amen. All right. It's been good. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, we pray. We thank you for your word. We pray every area where the enemy had a dwelling place. We pray the Holy Spirit will infiltrate those areas. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be the dwelling place where the enemy once had a habitation in the lives of your people. Father, we pray today, the Lord, in the name of Jesus, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, Father, saith the Lord. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord another praise. Amen.
Oh. This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.